chapter 32, entitled Entanglement in Fruitive Activity. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram
Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Iti etat katitam kurvi.
Iti etat katitam kurvi.
Jnanam tat brahma darshanam.
Jnanam tat brahma darshanam.
Yena adbhutyathe tattvam.
Yena adbhutyathe tattvam.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Iti etat katitam kurvi.
Iti etat katitam kurvi.
Jnanam tat brahma darshanam.
Jnanam tat brahma darshanam.
Yena anubhutyathe tattvam.
Yena anubhutyathe tattvam.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Iti etat katitam kurvi.
Iti etat katitam kurvi.
Jnanam tat brahma darshanam.
Jnanam tat brahma darshanam.
Yenadubhadyate tattvam.
Yenadubhadyate tattvam.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Iti etat katitam kurvi.
Iti etat katitam kurvi.
Jnanam tat brahma darshanam.
Jnanam tat brahma darshanam. Prakrite purushasya cha.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Word to word meaning, iti,
iti
thus, etat,
etat
this, katitam,
katitam
described,
gurvi,
o respectful mother,
jnanam,
knowledge,
tat,
that,
brahma,
the absolute truth,
darshanam,
revealing,
ena,
by which,
anubhudyate,
is understood,
tatvam,
the truth,
prakritehe,
of matter,
purushasya,
of spirit,
cha,
and.
And.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear respectful mother, I have already described the path of understanding the absolute truth by which one can come to understand the real truth of matter and spirit and their relationship. This text doesn't have purport, so I'll read text 32. Sanskrit, please hear. Jnana yogascha mannishto nirnairgunyo bhakti lakshanah dvayor api eka evarto Bhagavat Chabda Lakshanaha. Word to word, please repeat. Jnana Yogaha.
Jnana Yogaha.
Philosophical research.
Philosophical research.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
Madnishtaha.
Madnishtaha. Directed towards me.
Directed towards me.
Naigunyaha.
Naigunyaha.
Free from the material modes of nature.
Free from the material modes of nature.
Bhakti.
Bhakti.
Devotional service.
Devotional service.
Lakshanaha.
Lakshanaha.
Named.
Named.
Devayo.
Devayo.
Of both.
Of both.
Api.
Api.
Moreover.
Moreover.
Ekaha.
Ekaha.
One.
One.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Artaha.
Artaha.
Purpose.
Purpose.
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Shabda.
Shabda.
By the word.
By the word.
Lakshanaha.
Lakshanaha.
Signified.
Signified.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Philosophical research culminates in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After achieving this understanding, when one becomes free from the material modes of nature, he attains the stage of devotional service. Either by devotional service directly or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many lives of philosophical research, the wise man ultimately comes to the point of knowing that Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is everything and therefore he surrenders unto him. Such serious students in philosophical research are rare because they are very great souls. If by philosophical research one cannot come to the point of understanding the Supreme Person, then his task is not finished. His search in knowledge is still to be continued until he comes to the point of understanding the Supreme Lord in devotional service. The opportunity for direct touch with the Personality of Godhead is given in Bhagavad Gita, where it is also stated that those who take to other processes, namely the processes of philosophical speculation and mystic yoga practice, have much trouble. After many, many years of much trouble, a yogi or wise philosopher may come to him, but this path is very troublesome, whereas the path of devotional service is easy for everyone. One can achieve the result of wise philosophical speculation simply by discharging devotional service, and unless one reaches the point of understanding the Personality of Godhead by his mental speculation, all his research work is said to be simply a labor of love. The ultimate destination of the wise philosopher is to merge in the impersonal Brahman, but the Brahman is the effulgence of the Supreme Person. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 14.27, Brahmanohi pratishtaham amritasya avyayasya cha. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is the indestructible and is supreme bliss. The Lord is the supreme reservoir of all pleasure, including Brahman pleasure. Therefore, one who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is said to be already realized in impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನ ತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪರಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಾಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಎಸ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಇಸ್ ಮಿಲ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೀತಾ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪೇರ್ಡ್ ಟು cow, and Arjuna is compared to that of a calf, and he is milking this knowledge by asking intelligent questions to Krishna. In the same way, Mother Devahuti is extracting transcendental knowledge from Lord Kapila by asking pertinent questions. So the chapters 30, 31 and 32 are result of Mother Devahuti asking the question to Lord Kapila, asking him to describe the intricacies of birth and death in this material existence, so that she can practice bhakti with more intensity and she can become detached from this material world. So to reach a destination, if there is a shortest path, and it is described, okay, this shortest path will take you there quickly, but philosophically inclined, what if I take the other one? What will happen? Okay, if you want to know that, this is how you have to go through a process where the destination is not going to be the same as that of the Supreme Person, and the journey is also not going to be very pleasant. So when describing the entanglement of the living entity, Lord Kapila starts off the 30th chapter where a person trying to get out of this material existence, but he engages in adverse fruitive activities, meaning he does not follow scriptural injunctions which are there. So that chapter talks about Grihamedis. What does his lifestyle look like? What does he do for his living? Then during his living, what all he goes through? And after he dies, what are the troubles that he goes through in the hell? All that is described in that. So that is one path where you can take. You disregard the injunctions in the scriptures and you are focused on sense gratification. So, okay, so then now one may say, okay, what if I start following the injunctions in the Vedas? This is very similar to second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna will initially tell Arjuna to induce him to fight. He will give the knowledge aspect of soul, how it is different from the body and all that. Then he will start to induce him from the point of Karmakanda, where he will induce him, okay, you are a Kshatriya, you are meant to fight. If you win, you get the kingdom. If you lose, if you die, in the battlefield as a Kshatriya, you will go to heavenly kingdom. So either way, fight. So he's trying to elevate Arjuna, but he's trying to induce Arjuna by asking him to follow the Karmakanda type of mentality, where you look for sections in the Vedas and try to use them and live happily. So that is the other path. So if a person says, okay, it is mentioned in the Vedas, so I'm going to take that particular path, so what will happen? So still it is a fruitive activity. So this chapter is talking about people who are following the injunctions of the Vedas, but who are attached both to the work and the result. So sakama karma, where my mentality is still to enjoy in this material world, but I'm using Vedas as a means to achieve enjoyment. Still the mentality is not completely purified. So the first four verses talk about those persons who are too much attached to working in this world, following the Vedic injunctions. At the same time, they are not interested in the ultimate goal or the Supreme Person. So that is described how they take the path of getting elevated to the moon planet. They live there till their pious careers are over, then they have to come back. So then the description of those who are trying to work in a detached manner, Nishkama Karma Yogis, those who are performing their work but they are detached from the results. So that path is also described, and it is said that they take the path of the Sun God and they attain the Supreme Person. So Nishkama Karma Yoga leads to Jnana. Then from Jnana, if you are fortunate enough, then you come in contact with the devotee, then you take up Bhakti. But if you don't take up Bhakti, even if you are elevated to the level of that of Lord Brahma, you cannot go back to Vaikuntha. That's also described as to how, if in a particular planet, if Brahma is not practicing Bhakti, even he doesn't go to Vaikuntha. He has to still enter into the body of Mahavishnu, then he will come back. And those who think that Brahma is supreme, so here is where the concept of demigod worship is discussed, as to some persons think Brahma is supreme and they worship him, and if Brahma himself is not getting liberated, what's the position of those who worship Lord Brahma? So that path is also cleared by Lord Kapila, saying Bhakti is the only way by which you can get out of this material existence. So by this, Lord Kapila is clearing all the misconceptions, saying, okay, what if I take this? Then what if I take the other path of Nishkama Karma? Then what if I get elevated to heavenly planets? It's the same. You can parallelly see how Krishna describes Abrahma Bhumana Loka. The same verse talks about how even if you get elevated to the highest planet, you still have to come back. So then Lord Kapila starts to describe about those who worship the universal form. And again, he repeatedly instructs his mother as to how you just worship me and practice unalloyed devotional service and avoid the trouble of doing all the other processes. So this chapter, pretty much the later section of the chapters, he starts to summarize the paths and their goals. So this is where today's verse, where he is very pleasantly addressing his mother as Gurvi, O respectful mother. He's saying, I have already described the path of understanding the absolute truth by which one can come to understand the real truth of matter and spirit and their relationship. This is the point he's talking about, how he has described how the creation happens and how He is the source of all the material ingredients. If we do not understand who the source is and we are just caught up in mental speculation of analyzing all the elements and we do not know who the source is, so then we are taking Krishna out of the equation, and that is where, as Surya Gopal Prabhu was telling yesterday, the atheistic Kapila is philosophy is understanding all the elements except God. But the true teachings of Lord Kapila is that I am the source of both material and spiritual world. Everything comes from me. One has to understand this. And even if you are going to the path of philosophical speculation, if you do not come to the conclusion that the source is Lord Krishna and the path to attain that source is bhakti, then all the efforts that you are putting is in vain. That's described here. It's just the labor. Shama eva hi kevalam is described. So, what if a person asks this question? If you're saying jnana and bhakti are almost the same, then how is it? So Lord Kapila clarifies by saying, if the goal of jnana yoga is also to attain Bhagavan, if that is going to lead you to bhakti, and if you're going to combine jnana yoga and come to the conclusion that the Lord is supreme and I'm going to worship that particular Lord whom I have come to the point of understanding is supreme after many, many births, Bahunam Janmanam Ante. So that verse is quoted in verse 32's purport. He comes to the conclusion that Lord is the supreme and he is willing to surrender. So if the jnana is going to lead to the path of bhakti, then because the goal is the same, in that sense jnana and bhakti are synonymous. Otherwise, we have this technical terms of pradhani, bhuta, bhakti, where the predominance is either jnana or karma or ashtanga, and bhakti is secondary. Whereas kevala bhakti is unalloyed devotion, where bhakti is the main ingredient. So, but if I can't do kevala bhakti directly, so then the yoga ladder, as you might all know, is described. One begins in the lowest rung of the ladder by living an unregulated life. No rules, no regulations, free life, okay? So that is as good as leading an animalistic way of life. From then, you start to get regulated, then you start to follow the regulations in the Vedic injunctions. Now the idea is still to live happily in this world. You're starting to follow regulations from the Veda. So then you come to the level of what is described in the first four verses of this chapter as to workers who are attached. So from that point, you are gradually asked to give up attachment to your results. This again, you need an aspect of knowledge. So when you understand that this material world, wherever I go, it is still going to be troublesome, that's when you start to get, okay, what is beyond this? Now, we will take a look at this understanding of sakama karma, nishkama karma, and simultaneously look at how the aspect of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are also gradually revealed to a person who is following this particular path. So a person who has thinking that this world is all in all, from that point of, so he is starting to follow the Vedic injunctions, and then he goes to a person who, a brahmana, and asks, okay, I need a nice home. I need a nice wife or a nice husband. I want to have children. So for everything, the brahmana is prescribing some kind of worship. And this particular section, His Grace Gurujan Prabhu, in his surrender unto me, he has described nicely as to how this particular person who is going and approaching a saintly person, at some stage he gets frustrated. He's not satisfied. Even after getting all the things that he is wanting, then he goes, approaches, is there anything beyond this? So then, okay, you can go and live in the heavenly planets. That option is there. So if you want to try that, okay, so what should I do? So then follow the other. Now what's happening is, this particular person who is just thinking about the present life is starting to think about next life. Which means he is spiritually, okay, the soul as such does not die and I'm going to have another birth, so let me make my next birth at least more comfortable than the current one. So the idea of the soul being eternal and there is some person who is controlling this, and the aspect of seeing the impersonal aspect of the Lord, where he is seeing the existence which is temporary here, and I want to get to an existence where it is permanent. So the Sat aspect of the Absolute Truth, he is getting closer, where I want a permanent situation where there is going to be no miseries. So he is starting to understand this place is miserable, let me elevate myself. So at least he is trying to elevate himself. So then he is given the worship of heavenly planets, but he comes to know that even in heavenly planets there are going to be, even that is come to an end. So then he again, when he approaches the Brahman, says, is there something beyond this material world where I can go, where I don't have to come back again? So now, because he is starting, he is willing to get that particular knowledge seeking, and he is getting frustrated from the enjoyment in this world. So the Brahmana tells him that, okay, there are worships of Vishnu, which when you perform, when you become detached from the results of your work, and when you start to give the results of your work gradually, you can come to a point of going to Vaikuntha where you don't have to come back. But you cannot do it abruptly. You shouldn't be giving up your duties straight away. You have to do it gradually. So this particular person is starting to receive that particular knowledge, and he is getting introduced into the transcendence. So he is seeing how there is not only existence, spirituality, and there is also universal law and order. He is seeing how this universe is created and it is operating in a certain way. So there must be some person or energy who is beyond this material world, who is doing all those activities, who is controlling. So from the aspect of Sat, he is getting the knowledge of the Supreme Person. So Sat and Sit. So then now he is starting to go to the platform of trying to see the energy of the Lord and the controller. He is starting to see God's energy and how he is also present in this material world as Paramatma in everyone's heart and also in every atom. So now he is starting to, okay, what should I do in this, when I am in this material world, I am doing my prescribed duties, how do I get elevated? So then he is given the knowledge of transcendence. So that's why in Bhagavad Gita we see Karma Yoga, then fourth chapter is transcendental knowledge, and what is fifth chapter? Action in Krishna consciousness. So gradually this person understands that the material energy and the spiritual energy, so there is something beyond this material world as well. That's the understanding he gets from the Brahmana. So he is trying to achieve or aim at that. So you can gradually see how his consciousness is getting detached from material attachment and he is aiming towards transcendence. And accordingly, he has to change the process also. If you look at the process of mental speculation or Ashtanga Yoga, the process in itself is within the three modes of material nature. But the destination, which is Vaikuntha, is beyond the modes of material nature. If the path itself is bound by material modes, how can that lead to a destination which is beyond the material modes? So it doesn't make sense. So one has to choose a path or a process which itself is not contaminated by the three modes. So then you can reach the destination which is beyond the three modes. So that path which is not contaminated by the three modes, that path is bhakti. So if you take up the process of bhakti, then you can reach the destination which is beyond the modes of material nature. So then that will make sense, because the other processes in themselves are affected by the modes. And that is why Lord Kapila, when describing devotional service in detail, he described how it must be unmotivated, uninterrupted, and how that is beyond modes. He also cautioned that the practitioner of bhakti can be under the control of modes. And that is why he will practice bhakti in different modes, but the process bhakti in itself is not contaminated by the modes. Now this person on his journey, now he is starting to get knowledge, he is starting to worship the Supreme Person. Now he is starting to inquire. So the material energy is there and it is controlled. So he is starting to see the controlling aspect of the Lord. Now, if I have to go there to Vaikuntha, what are my activities there? So if you're getting a job, the first thing you'll ask, what's my job description? How should I dress myself up? Should I go in t-shirt, jeans, or should I go in formals, or should I go with a clean shave, or what? So now, then you'll also ask, what is the person who's running the company or the owner, what does he do? How does he look like? Now he's starting to inquire about the person in Vaikuntha, and what are his activities? How does the spiritual world look like? So this is when the knowledge about the Bhagavan aspect is being brought out. That particular person who is controlling this material world, he has got his own abode. He doesn't have to come here to control everything. He is present as Paramatma and he is controlling remotely in this material world. But he has his own abode. And he has his own set of activities, he has his own lifestyle. And because you want to enter that particular abode where he is doing his activities, you should develop that mentality of serving that particular person. So this is how the progression happens from Brahman realization, from Paramatma, then to Bhagavan. When you're starting to inquire about who is that person who is controlling this material world and who is living beyond this material world, who is in the spiritual realm and who is doing all these activities, let me enter into that particular realm where I don't have to come back, because Krishna promises those who come back to me, you don't have to enter into this material world. So here we saw how a person who is leading an unregulated life, when he is starting to follow some regulations, then getting into the aspect of following sakama karma, then nishkama karma, then by the association of a devotee who is willing to give this knowledge progressively and who is inducing us to practice, he is revealed, he is getting the revelation of different aspects of absolute truth, which is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So in this particular verse purport, verse number 32, Srila Prabhupada mentions the Bhagavad Gita verse as to how a person, after having gone through millions of bahunam janmanamante jnanavanmam prapadyate. So that person is said to be dear, because when Krishna describes four people come to me, And out of that, who is the most dear? Krishna says, the one who is seeking the absolute truth, he is the most dear. So this particular, so he uses the word bahunam janmanam ante jnanavanman prapadyate. So is this jnani most dear to Krishna? So then what does it mean that this jnani is not a philosophical speculator? He has got predominance of bhakti and his only goal is Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So that particular type of jnani who has set his goal as the supreme absolute truth, as the Shyama Sundara, the two-handed form of Krishna as Vasudeva, that jnani is superior. So that jnana path, which is taking you to do personal worship of the Lord, that is bhakti. So if you understand bhakti and jnana from that point of view, in that sense they are synonymous because their destinations are the same. So now that we have seen the concept, is there an example as to how a jnani got transformed and became a devotee? Because Bhagavatam is a treasure house of case studies where you can see people from different levels of consciousness getting elevated. Ajamil, then we have Sukadeva Goswami himself, who is the speaker, because the four type of people who approach Krishna, so can someone say who are the four? So you have to give example also, as you say. So you have to tell what are the types and the example. Distressed is Gajendra, okay. Opulence. Who wanted opulence? I want examples also. Dhruva. Yes. Desire of wealth. So that's what we discussed now. Who is the example? Dhruva. Yeah. Third one? Inquisitive. Example. Inquisitive example, not for Kumaras. I also thought so. Inquisitive Prahlad Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, yes. Haribo, sages of Naimisharanya. Because when our little child, Krishna, he asked the question, then I had to go back and refer. That's when I also got. So the sages of Naimisharanya are the ones who are inquisitive. And then, who are the jnanis? The four Kumaras. Yeah, so you have something? Yeah, the four Kumaras are the ones who had this transformation of heart. How did that happen? That's also described nicely in one of the verses in this particular chapter only, as to how they had a personalized transformation. We look at the verse and also we try to gain some insights into how the process of bhakti works. So this is 3rd canto, chapter 15, verse 43. I'll read the translation and then I'll read the Sanskrit. When the breeze carrying the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, Kumaras, they experienced a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. So here we have the sons of Lord Brahma, who can have more knowledge than them, the four Kumaras. They were created and they had the understanding of the absolute truth at the level of Brahman realization. And another example is, as Prabhu told, Sukadeva Goswami himself. In case of Sukadeva Goswami, it is said that even he was tested by Janak Maharaj, I think, once, where he was given a pot of oil and he has to go around the entire city and come back without the oil being spilled. And then he did that. So he was so detached from the outside world that he was able to do that. And the four Kumaras are also one such example. So how did their heart get transformed? What was described in the translation? How did their heart get transformed? What did I just read right now? By smelling the tulsi leaves. Now, is smelling tulsi a very tough process? No. And are there any age restrictions of who can smell tulsi, who cannot? No. Is there any gender restrictions? Only Matajis can smell tulsi or only Prabhus? No. Nothing like that. So, if you can analyze the bhakti process, how easy it is and what are the effects it is creating on your consciousness, both in body and in mind. So, what exactly happened is the vayu. So, I'll read the Sanskrit, which is very nice. Tasyaravinda nayanasya padaravinda kinjal kamishra tulasi makaranda vayu antargatasva vivarena chakara tesham sankshobham aksharajusham apichitta tanvo. So their chitta, which is body and mind, it got transformed. How? By the vayu. And the breeze, which is the vayu carrying the aroma, makaranda, of tulasi leaves. Now, these tulasi leaves were decorating whose feet? The Lord's lotus feet. Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi of the Padara Vinda of the Lord. How is he described? Tasyara Vinda Nayanasya of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. Now, as I described, a person who is undergoing the transformation of just seeing the Lord as energy, and then seeing Lord as a controller of energy, now he is starting to see the personal beauty of that person who is the source of both material and spiritual world. So that is why when Lord Kapila was describing the Ashtanga Yoga process, even the yogis have to meditate on the different limbs of the Lord, starting from the, where do the yogis start meditation from? Feet of the Lord. So, there also it is described as to how the different marks of the feet of the Lord, what are some of the marks that you can see in the Lord's feet? Lotus, conch shell, and each has got a significance. So, these markings, when you start taking or observing the feet of the Lord, they are working on us by destroying the different impediments that we have in our heart, like lust, anger, greed and all that. So, as the yogi is progressing by meditating on the feet of the Lord, he is also getting cleansed. So, as we are practicing different angas of bhakti, which are made very, very simple, when you attend any arati, what happens? Different articles are coming out from the altar. Everything is the mercy of the Lord that's coming to you. If you see it in that way and you start to absorb yourself in the process of bhakti, then we can also experience the change of heart. One may say, I don't have access to go to Vaikuntha to smell the tulasi directly from the feet of the Lord. But Srila Prabhupada has created Vaikuntha in this material world, even in the busiest city like Melbourne. And the notice board outside, you'll see there is a quote, Srila Prabhupada himself saying as to how this place is not Melbourne, this is Vaikuntha. So when we receive something from the Lord as mercy, anything that's coming out from the Lord's altar to us, we should be so eager, like the four Kumaras who were just eager to, actually they were so much absorbed in seeing the beauty of the Lord that some were touching his feet, some were touching different parts of the Lord's body. So they got this inquisitiveness, and that is why their whole journey towards Vaikuntha began. So if we take the mercy of the Lord that is coming to us daily in the form of, in various forms, one such form is the flowers that we get to smell, and then the actual form of the Lord to see, where the pujaris dress them really nicely for us to take darshan of the Lord. So simultaneously what's happening is you are gradually clearing the dirt in your heart, and you are qualifying yourself to develop the service mentality. And one fine day, when you take the serious step of surrendering to a spiritual master who is a representative of the Lord, and that's when you are actually getting the boarding pass to go to Vaikuntha. You still haven't boarded the flight yet, so the process has just begun. So that's the process of initiation, where you are getting serious about getting out of this material world. So here we see how the Kumaras, who are having the highest knowledge of absolute truth at the level of jnana, they experienced a change of heart. So here is where we have the proof of how the bliss experienced at the level of Brahman is very, very insignificant when compared to the bliss that you experience when you actually see the form of the Lord, serve Him and worship Him. Why is this multiple times? Because your consciousness has changed. Because you are not trying to become one with God. You are not following the process just to, okay, I'll follow it and one day I'll become God. That mentality is actually that of a Ravana mentality. Ravana actually wanted to take the position of Lord Ram, which means I will possess Sita, which means you are trying to be Ram. So that is why the impersonal aspect of, or the worshipping the impersonal aspect of the Lord with the intention to become one with God is condemned. And you will actually not get the intended result. Whereas the other example is that of Hanuman. Hanuman never wanted to become one with Lord Ram. He always wanted to serve Lord Ram as a servant. So now it is up to us what path we want to take, what mentality we want to have, and what destination we want to reach. So it is up to us. When different stories are presented in Ramayana and in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is imperative for us to draw lessons from them and then change our consciousness. You can see, where am I fitting? What is my consciousness at the moment? The power of bhakti is such that even if we are at a very character level or whatever, at a very lowest position, it doesn't prevent you from practicing bhakti. It actually encourages. So no matter where you are in, you can elevate yourself and practice devotional service. And Mother Devahuti actually quotes how people who are even born in the dog-eating family, they can also become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if they completely surrender unto you. So when describing the glories of devotional service, that aspect is being brought out as to how a person from a lowest birth can also get elevated. Now that we have understood the process of bhakti and the destination that we are going to reach, it is also imperative that when we are dealing with people, here it is mentioned that such persons are very, very rare. So when we are dealing with devotees, we should know that we are dealing with people who are very, very rare. And to the extent that we have loving dealings with that, with devotees, to that extent Krishna is going to be pleased. I just happened to read few prayers of Prahlad Maharaj where there is an interesting dialogue between Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narasimhadev, and you can see the consciousness of Prahlad Maharaj as to how elevated he is. At one stage in his set of prayers, he will consider himself very unfortunate, unqualified. And then later sections he will say that I'm not at all afraid of this material existence, and because I'm always absorbed in your thoughts. So do you want to get liberated alone? I can give you liberation. Narasimhadev said, no. I'm not at all worried about my liberation. You know why? Because I am serving your servant, Narad Muni. And because I am serving your servant, my liberation is automatically taken care. I don't worry about it. So that's where we understand how powerful the process of bhakti is. By taking shelter of a devotee, of a devotee, of a devotee and serving him, your liberation is automatically taken care. So then Lord Narasimhadev will ask, then what are you praying for? No, I want to liberate the other persons who are making plans in this world to stay comfortably, even though this place is not meant for their happiness. I am praying for them, so please deliver them. So you can see how the consciousness of a bhakti yogi is not only about liberating himself, but it is also about liberating others and taking others also back home, back to Godhead. If you analyze the process of bhakti, japa has to be done individually for your own purification, and then you perform kirtan where more than one person is involved, and always, even in japa, the Bhagavan aspect is there because you are praying to him. What I am trying to emphasize is you are performing kirtan along with other devotees. So even if a mother who is carrying a child, if she is participating, both she and the child is benefiting. And if she is eating prasadam, both of them are getting benefited. Whereas if a mother is doing yoga practice, I don't know how it will benefit the child, I'm not sure. If she is doing other meditation aspects, I'm not sure how much the impact will have on the child. Whereas the process of bhakti, you can see how it is trying to elevate. So the Nama Sankirtan means you are going out and congregationally preaching or trying to distribute books or distributing prasadam. In that sense, the consciousness is not only I should get benefited, but others should also. So from the point of getting liberated, I want to get out of this world. From the point of no, I want to take people out of this world along with me as I am getting liberated. So that is what Prahlad Maharaj will say. My dear Lord, you are the cause of creation, maintenance and destructions. And you should also become the cause of delivering them. For you, there is no excuse that you don't have power or you have everything. Just as you are the cause of the creation, you should also become the cause of delivering them. As far as me, I don't worry. My deliverance is automatically taken care of because I am serving your servant, Narad Muni. But please be merciful unto all these fools and rascals who are making plans to stay in this material world, and they are making elaborate plans. There's also this verse where it says, if a person is trying to elevate others by going out and preaching and taking voluntary suffering, that process is also kind of worship. This is from Bhagavatam 8.7.44. Tapyanti loka tapena sadhava prayaso jana paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya akilatmana. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. So automatically, a person who is going out and distributing books or going out and distributing prasadam, he is doing the ultimate worship. Parama aradhanam, the topmost method of worship. So, that is how, to conclude, we can see the knowledge of Bhagavan includes the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. So, Bhagavan gives Chat, Sit, Ananda, where you know that Bhagavan is a person who is controlling the material and spiritual world, and he has got his own abode, he has got his own qualities, form, and you can have a personalized relationship with that Supreme Person in various varieties of rasas. So Nectar of Devotion gives a great detail about the different types of rasas, and Kumaras actually had a Santa Rasa. So just by smelling, they were getting elevated to that platform of being a hardcore Brahmavadis to devotees in Santa Rasa. So when we practice bhakti, we should consider how troublesome the other process is, how much fortunate we are. Just by doing these simple practices, we are getting immense benefits, and we are able to elevate not only us, but also other living entities around us. So in that note, I will conclude. I'll ask if there are any questions related to what we discussed today. What was Narad Muni's position before he became a devotee? Was he a Brahmavati? He was actually a pop singer, a singer in the assembly of Gandharvas. Yeah. Then, instead of glorifying the Lord, he got sidetracked and he got cursed. So then that's the fall down from there. And then the other one is birth as son of a maid servant. It may not be given in a chronological way, but if you see later cantos will describe how Narad Muni was a Gandharva initially, then he fell down, and then he took the birth of a maid servant's son, and then he ate the remnants of the Mahabhagavats who came and stayed at his place. Then he is bhakti awakened, and he practiced bhakti after that quite seriously. That's the main thing. Just eating Mahaprasadam will start, but there should be some effort from our side also to practice Tivrena bhakti. So once you do that, so then the Lord appeared in his heart and then told him, only next birth you will come back to me. So if anybody wants to add to that, they can. This is my understanding.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. Just one sequence explanation.
Yes.
You mentioned that the four Kumaras smell the tulsi leaf.
Yes.
It is one of the anga of bhakti. So, in spite of that, why did they graduate only to Shantaras and not any of the other active rasas? Is there any explanation given on that? Or?
Why only that particular level? I've read up to the point of they being quoted as a case study for jnanis getting elevated to the platform of bhakti. But why only up to Santarasa, I don't have an answer for that. The emphasis of that case study was more about how even smaller aspects of bhakti can take one to the platform of getting to Santarasa. But having said that, if a person wants to take the Santarasa forward and he is willing to move up, so then the Lord will facilitate. The four Kumaras, I don't know to what extent they took it forward. Having said that, we also have a bona fide sampradaya coming from the four Kumaras, which means they must have perfected their bhakti, otherwise they can't become the guru of a sampradaya, which is also going to be stated as a bona fide sampradaya leading you to Vaikuntha. Details, I'm not sure, just by the information. Yeah, yes, Prabhu, you want to add to that? The point Bhakta Prabhu was making is the Kumaras were so absorbed in meditation, all the senses were blocked except for the nose, so they smelled tulasi and the heart was transformed.
Is it mentioned that they reach only Shantaras?
Yeah, that is there, but further than that, did they progress? I have to read further. It is Tulasi acting as a stimulus. So this is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami quotes this particular verse that I said about the four Kumaras as evidence as to how fragrance of Tulasi among all other items like conch, forest, river, etc. can be a stimuli for both Dasa Bhaktas as well as Shanta Bhaktas. Maybe if I read more in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then there might be more.
So it can be for Dasya Rasa.
And Santarasa.
So it's not mentioned that they reach only Santarasa.
It's not mentioned that the Kumaras reached only the... That's a good point. It is said that Kumaras became devotees. In the 61 explanation of the Atmarama verse, this particular verse is quoted twice, stating how the Kumaras became devotees. It is said that they have become devotees. This is an interesting point, maybe I thought I would share. Sweetness is the pleasure experienced through the Lord's form, quality and pastimes. By realizing sweetness, one attains love for the Lord. Realizing only Brahman produces only bliss for the self, which is covered by the realization of the sweetness, which happened in the case of Kumaras on seeing the Lord. So, yeah, they're not only Santaras, there is amazement, or there's another rasa which is called Adbhuta Rasa. One of the causes of Adbhuta Rasa, amazement, is experiencing the bliss of Lord's sweetness as greater than the bliss of impersonal Brahman. This verse is an evidence. So the four Kumaras are an evidence for the fact that the bliss experienced in the impersonal Brahman is inferior when compared. So one of the causes of Adbhuta Rasa, amazement. So I may have to do a bit more study or... Yes, Prabhu.
Isn't it also true that if Sao is in Santarasa,
yeah,
he's also a devotee?
Yeah.
And then I also remember hearing, but I can't remember the source, that a devotee who is in Shantarash, he is fully satisfied in
yes.
that particular ras.
Yes.
He can
change
to the other aspect, but you won't want to because that's his enjoyment. So when the Gopamaras were in the wake of Kushanka Rush, perhaps, I'm guessing, perhaps they were happy in their rush.
Yep.
Because they are.
Nobody will be.
Maybe they will be shorter short time.
Yeah, there's a mention as to how they. The four Kumaras also heard Bhagavatam from Sankarsan.
Thank you.
Probably we'll conclude there, it's already 9 o'clock. So we'll conclude here too. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.